Guys, I sat through this morning's message, and I want to just commend Pastor Dale for his approach, for what he's doing here in the church here and what I'm hearing, and commend you to Kevin and the messages that he's bringing. I travel all over the country and visit in churches, and these guys really love you guys and care for you, and they're bringing a hard message to you. But it needs to be delivered not only to you, but you know, to the ladies and to the family. So I wanted to mention that I'm very honored to be here. It's a privilege to be here, and I've got something I'm going to show you, a short video here in a minute. But before we start, my goal today here is that you can take one thing from here and apply it when you go home. Because, you know, we can get so many things thrown at us. We don't know what to do. We go home and go, well, I heard this, I heard this, I heard this. And then life starts coming back at you again. And before you know it, you haven't done anything, you haven't applied anything from today. And so that's my prayer, is that what I have to share with you and Kevin and everybody else, that you'll be able to take one action item home and implement one thing. Because one thing can drastically change your life. I'd like to pray just before we start show this video. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for Pastor Dale. I want to thank you for these men who have come out today to hear the word preached. But most importantly, that they've come out today, that they've desired to have change in their life. They desire to protect their families. They desire to protect their marriages. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just be reveal the truth to us and change us, because we know that that's the thing that we really need to change our lives. We can desire to change and want to change, but the real help comes from the Holy Spirit changing us and helping us to open our eyes to new truth, your truth. So I commit this time that we have with these men here to you and pray that you would be glorified and the men would be changed as you see fit, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you something here real quick, and then we'll get started.
I've struggled with pornography for many years. As a pastor, I have seen many people in my church and others that I minister to struggle with pornography for many, many years.
Hey, I have personal friends, good guys, followers of Christ, who unintentionally allowed this area just to begin to take over, and they began to slip down this slope.
The power of pornography is so incredible and perhaps unexpected. Almost without being aware, it's like that accelerator pedal gets stuck. And you think, okay, I'm just going to do a little bit. I'm just going to dabble a little bit. This isn't going to hurt somebody. And boom, in just a second, they're in their Maserati and just barreling down the racetrack at the speed of light. It happens that quickly. It happens that powerfully, neurochemically.
I'm responsible to guard the gates of my home, whatever those gateways might be. A big one is the internet, which is flowing free into my home 24 hours a day. I want to make sure that as a dad, I'm the guardian of this gateway into my home.
One of my favorite scriptures has always been in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe it starts at verse 12. It says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but he will always provide a way out, a way of escape." The problem is, we look for the way out a little too late.
I need covenant eyes, something that will show daily the man of integrity that I desire to be and that God's created me to be, to those around me that have said, "I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to do this battle with you."
I know that I'm not invincible. I know that I'm still vulnerable, and I need the type of accountability that Covenant Eyes provides me.
So what's internet accountability mean for me? Just means I have a couple guys who know what I'm up to. A couple guys who, if they choose, can view everything I do on the internet. I've made that available to them. Simple for them. life-changing for me.
If there is not a person in your life, a believer, that has the right to ask you the hard questions, you are living in a very dangerous place. Now I need to give some godly people freedom to ask me some hard questions. Covenant Eyes is one of the ways I do that.
Covenant Eyes helps me be free. Free to live a life that impacts eternity.
Free to be the husband that my wife deserves.
Free to be a great dad.
Free to worship. Free to preach the gospel.
Free to become what God wants me to be.
Free to believe.
Free to be the man God created.
We've got a huge problem facing us today as men. I didn't have this problem when I was growing up because I grew up in the 60s and 70s and the internet wasn't around then. What I'm going to talk to you about today can be kind of hard-hitting for some of you, and I know Kevin's kind of given you some hard-hitting scriptures, but you know what? We're men. And men, and I'm going to give you a definition later on, men, there's actually a definition in the Bible of what is a godly man. And it's not a man who shrinks away from courage, and we'll talk about that a little later on. But today we want to talk about the path to internet integrity. What is that path? We're going to talk about a couple of various things. And my hope today, my sincere hope, is to move you to take action to protect and guard the gates of your home and that which is most valuable to you, to protect your relationship with God, your relationship with your wife, your marriage, your family, and your testimony. We all have a testimony that is visible to others in the community for Christ. Because if they know you're a Christian, and this happens all the time, and somebody ends up on the news, in the bad news, and they know they're a Christian, they just have ruined their testimony for Christ. And we've heard that. And it's grievous when it happens. So our goal is to practice online integrity that matches our life values. What we're finding is that people have one set of values over here offline, off the internet, disconnected from the internet. And then they come over here to the internet and they think they can do things that no one will know. That's just wrong. But it's happening everywhere. The guy over here, he's outstanding, he's a member of the church, he could be a pastor, everybody sees him, he's responsible, he does all these things. And then over here, he's on the internet and he's doing things that no one knows about, and that is just flat out wrong. And that is something we have to deal with. We have to face as men. What are we going to do to deal with this problem? How many have the internet in their homes? Well, I should raise my hand because I do. I don't see anybody who doesn't. So, how many use the internet at work? How many have any mobile phones, iPhones? Couple. And then Windows Mobile, probably, you know, any of those phones that access the internet. And then how many have laptops? I do too. So if you just look around, everybody's hands 80, 90% going up. And then how many have more than one computer in your home? And so you can see we are wired. We're a wired society now. And yet you can take your laptop, if this was a laptop, And you can go to Singapore and get the internet and get into trouble. You can go to Starbucks. You can do things now that you couldn't do 25 years ago. Let's move on to online temptation. There are many forms of online temptation. There's online temptation to play EverQuest and World of Warcraft for 4 or 5 hours a day. Who, does anybody know what that, those games are? You raise your hand. Oh, yeah. The biggest temptation, though, is internet pornography. There's over 400 million pornography web pages on the internet. Pornography is highly addictive. I'm as addictive as cocaine or heroin. It actually has the potential to change your brain chemistry, and does, if you continue to view it over a long period of time. There are lots of gray areas. Kevin talked a little bit about a few of those. A gray area is I go to weather.com, check the weather, and over on the right, it all of a sudden is in a Victoria's Secret embedded temptation, that's what we call them. Now, is Victoria's Secret pornography? No. But I have no place going there for me, because that to me is pornography. And so we all face those. We all face different temptations. It could be the swimsuit edition. Those are gray areas. We can kind of justify it if we go there. Well, I could go there. And, you know, that's not really bad. It's not pornography. Start rationalizing. That's danger territory. We've got Facebook. We've got social networking websites. We've got MySpace. We've got chatting. We've got blogs. These can consume a lot of time, and we can also misrepresent ourselves. There are people pretending to be somebody else on the internet. They're lying about their identity. All of these situations, chat rooms and MySpace, and all present temptations for us to be someone else or go somewhere else that we're not supposed to go. Online gaming, I talked a little bit about that. What do you do? I've got a question for you, man. What do you do when you are on a website that has something that you didn't expect appear? What goes through your mind? Well, I know what goes through your mind because it goes through my mind too. Ah, that looks curious. I'm curious about that swimsuit edition, or I'm curious about whatever it is. It could be maybe a new game if you're a younger guy. Maybe it's a new game that's on there. You're over to the World of Warcraft homepage where they have a lot of embedded temptations on the right. I know that because my son plays World of Warcraft. And I get his accountability reports. And they score high. They say, what are you doing over here? And we talk about it. So these are things I want you to be thinking about, guys. What goes through your mind? And if we're honest about this and we're transparent, and that's really important, we all struggle with various temptations on the internet. Have you ever clicked on one of those out of curiosity? Because I have. And after I did it, I knew it was wrong. I said in my heart, it was like, what am I doing here? And bam, I clicked right out of it, got off from it. But that's happened. And I want you to be thinking about times when that's happened to you. You click on something that you're curious about. Temptation and curiosity kind of go together. We get there, we go, whoa, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I don't think I should be here. But if no one is around, guess what? No one's looking. What are we tempted to do, guys? We're tempted to stay there because we're thinking, no one knows I'm here. Am I correct? Can I see a couple of head nods? At least a couple. Come on, guys. Statistics. I'm not going to give you very many of these because they're so depressing and overwhelming. 50% of Christian men say they are addicted to pornography, MarketWire Research 2006. Over 50% of pastors say that pornography addiction is the most damaging sexual issue in their congregations, Leadership Journal 2005. 9 out of 10 men raised in Christian homes were exposed to pornography as a child, The Heart Report 1994. Some of these statistics are really old, too, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. Here's one for you. The internet pornography industry generates $12 billion a year, more than the annual revenue of ABC, NBC, and CBS. Because what you guys have to understand is that the pornographers are pursuing you and me. They are aggressively targeting us. Because if you engage pornography at any level, whether you go to a gray area website, and that is a temptation that can take you to a really objectionable website, can it? Maybe the swimsuit edition is sort of justified in your mind, which it isn't in my mind, because I know, and you know. But if you visit that, the danger is you are one step closer to the edge. Because God made our bodies the way they are, to respond to visual images. That's why he has marriage. Thankfully, he gave us marriage. I was going to make a point there, and I got sidetracked. But I think you can get the point. Oh, I know what it was. These pornographers don't care about you and your family. They want to take your money. Because that's where pornography leads. Eventually, if you continue viewing it, you'll end up paying for it. Give you some real reality. I'm sitting in my office one day, 4 or 5 years ago. This has happened many times. Phone rings. I answer the phone. Guy just got out of prison. He says, yeah, I just got out of prison. I had a really good paying job. I worked for such and such company. And I committed a sexual crime against a child. And I wish I had known about your program 3 years ago. Ruined my whole life. Ruined my testimony for Christ, lost his job, lost his marriage, lost everything, ended up in a 6-foot by 6-foot cell. What could I say to him? I said, sorry you didn't know about us. Ended up praying with him on the phone. Let me give you a story. This is a true story. A testimony, actually, or a member comment. This is from a woman. I think that internet pornography is utterly horrible for a marriage. I have been married faithfully to one man for 21 years. I recently found out that he has been addicted to pornography for 20 of those years. I had no idea, and I had no idea of the kinds of things that are out there. Anyone who says that this sort of thing is inconsequential is completely wrong. It has torn my family apart. It has irreparably damaged all of our lives, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and physically. He cared for nothing and no one on the earth or in the heavens except his pornography and himself. And she closes this, and I actually edited this way down because she gave a very long and very heartbreaking, and we get these all the time, story. She closes with all capital letters. Internet pornography is dangerous. Internet pornography destroys lives. What are we going to do then? Okay, we've got this ever-present danger out there. We also have to understand, and I'm going to address this in just a minute, that we have an enemy. Now, the last time I remembered the word enemy didn't mean friend. We have an enemy. Now, because we don't see him, we are still in a war. And the enemy desires to do one thing, destroy us. He hates us because we're of Christ. Okay? There's lots of scriptures I can give you on that, and I'll give you some. But what are we supposed to do? We've got this we've got the internet. It's part of our life. It's now part of our fabric. Okay? What are we supposed to do? Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Question, how are we to watch over our heart? With all diligence. The word diligence means is the opposite of negligence. So diligence means you don't miss anything. Negligence means you're sloppy, you forget things, you leave things laying around, they're undone. So this scripture is telling us to guard our hearts with diligence. Are we doing that, men? And I can tell you in our ministry, men are not doing that. And it really upsets me. Our whole staff of 49 people, it upsets. Because we're going to go on a little bit further. I'm getting ahead of myself just a little tiny bit. Let me give you another scripture, Matthew 4:3. This is Jesus right before he went into the wilderness. And the tempter came and said to him, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Because obviously, Jesus was pretty hungry after not eating 40 days. The idea of having some bread sounded probably pretty good. But Jesus responded and said, he answered the enemy, okay, and said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is your mandate as men, to lead your families in a way where you live by the word of God. And what is the word of God? According to 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Adequate and equipped for every good work. This is where we're seeing the issue, is that men are not stepping up to the plate to be a godly man and draw the line in the sand and say, nothing is coming into my house related to pornography because I'm going to use a program like Covenant Eyes. Now, if there were more programs like Covenant Eyes, I'd tell you to use any of them that are good. But there aren't any. There are a lot of filters, and we're going to talk about that. There are a lot of filters out there, but Covenant Eyes doesn't block you. It monitors everywhere you go. And we're also just getting ready to release a new version that will monitor every single application you open on your program. You open up a LimeWire and you go to peer-to-peer and try to view pornography and download videos, you'll be found out. This is a very serious thing, gentlemen. Do you want to end up in a 6-foot cell and lose everything in your life and get out with a prison record, not to mention damaging the testimony of Christ? Absolutely not. I would say nobody here would raise their hand that they want to do that. So how we live is according to God's word. And men, you're the leaders. Now I'm on to this part. Biblically, Christ is the head of every man, and man is the head of who? Woman. Every one of us are going to be held responsible before God one day. As it says in Romans, we're all going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Guess who's going to hold us accountable for our families and for loving our wives as Christ loved the church? All of you, the buck stops with you. We have more responsibility upon us, just like the pastor does in the fear of God he preaches, because he's going to be held accountable to God for everything he says when he's pastoring the flock. We're going to be held accountable for how we protect and guard and live our lives in light of truth and how we apply that to our families. Now, we're going to look at the little word in the scripture, and this is only a few scriptures, this is not all of them, but we're going to look at a word guard. I already gave you one of them, Proverbs 4:23. The word watch and the word guard are the same thing. This is what we're supposed to be doing, guys. Guarding our hearts. This is what real men do. Real men don't live lackadaisically. Here's one in 1 John 5:21. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Well, definitely viewing pornography is an idol. It's a serious temptation, but it's definitely something we're not to be involved in. Proverbs 2:11. Listen to this. I'll give you, this is real good. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. The word discretion in the Hebrew means a plan or intent. So if we back that up a little bit, you can see that having a plan or an intention, which is similar to a plan, will guard you. Too many men are not guarding their internet use. They're not guarding their families. They're over here fishing, hunting, playing golf, doing what they want to do, living a life that is, when you get married and have a family, you start to die to your life. You don't start to live to it. You die to yourself because you're supposed to be serving your family. What did Jesus do on the last day to demonstrate leadership? He washed the disciples' feet. He served them. And so too many men, including myself when I was early married, this is a learning process. I'm not trying to at all to beat guys up. I want to encourage you. I learned this because after I got married, we have a learning process. That's why we're to be in the Word. So God can illuminate things to us. We can change and we can go on. Let me share a quick story with you. This is what we did in our family. When our kid, we have three kids, 19, my daughter's 19, my one son's 23, my other son's 26. My 26-year-old actually works at Covenant Eyes. That's a huge blessing. When they got to about 10 to 12 years of age, my wife and I talked and we said, you know, they're going to be facing temptations. They're going to be running into alcohol. We can't control wherever they go. It's sooner or later, they're going to run into, somebody's going to offer them a beer, somebody's going to offer them drugs, and in some situation, they may be tempted by having sex. So we said, when they were around 10, 12 years of age, we sat each one down and said, now, our kids, by God's grace, are walking with the Lord. So we sat down, and this was not an edict to them. I didn't say, you will do this. This was not an edict. This was a conversation. This temptation's going to be coming to you. These are things that are out there in the world, because they didn't know that much at that time, at 10 to 12. And so we have to have a plan of how you're going to deal with that now. So when it comes, because it will, you know what to do. It's called a default thought. Somebody offers me beer, you have a default thought. Bam! I know exactly what I'm doing ahead of time, and it isn't having that beer. Then we have to have the same thing. The internet's full of temptation. Bam! I get Covenant Eyes, and I've got a filter, or whatever it is you want. So when that stuff comes, you're dealing with it like a man. And so we went through this with all of our children. On the sex issue, we bought them a promise ring, and we said, this is a covenant that you're making to us, a pledge, kind of a covenant, a pledge to us, that you are not going to have any sexual relationship with anybody until you're married. And they have a ring in it. It's a nice ring, and they can see that on their hand. And you might see this thing here. I pass this around. I want you guys to take a wristband, if you would like, please. This is a visual reminder, a symbol that I'm using Covenant Eyes. I wear these things. We give these things out by the thousands. People love them. It's just a little thing to help. And so we went through that with our kids. We went through it with drugs. We went through it with alcohol. We went through that with sex. And guess what? By God's grace, when they went away to college, I can remember calling them up and saying, yeah, we went to a party on campus. And I'm thinking, oh. He said, Dad, you wouldn't believe it. Everybody was drunk there. And we had to take one girl by the arms. I have two sons. They both went to college at the same time. They're best buddies. They said, we had to take one girl. She was so drunk. And we saw that we were the only ones that weren't drunk. Because we knew what to do. Because you sat down with us 10 years ago or 8 years ago and said, this is what you do when this happens. And they actually took her out several times because she was getting ready to be abused because she was so drunk, and then the other guys thought it was all funny. So my sons went to those about 3 or 4 times. I was a little concerned thinking, hey, we have alcohol in the background. My grandfather was an alcoholic, and on both sides of my family, we've got alcoholism everywhere. So I'm thinking, whoa. But they're at school, now they're 19 years of age. Have we done our job? So they went again, and They went again, and they ended up taking this girl home a couple times. And strange thing, she kept going back, getting drunk again and again. They couldn't believe the stupidity. So eventually they stopped going to him. They said, that is so dumb. Why would anybody do that? They were at Northwood University in Midland. And you can go to Christian campuses and have the same thing happen. So it's not necessarily where you go. We must do the same thing then. We must plan because we know we're going to be tempted on the internet, period. That doesn't mean all of you are struggling with pornography. Set that all aside. You're going to be tempted, period. Okay? Because you can't see what tomorrow holds, I won't accept anybody saying, well, I don't have a problem with internet pornography. I've never had a problem. I don't need your program. I'm thankful you don't have a problem with internet pornography. However, can you predict what's going to happen 5 minutes from now when you're on the internet or tomorrow? Can you predict how strong you'll be or how weak you'll be or what will appear on the computer screen? This requires a measure of humility, guys. We are very weak vessels. We'd like to think we're stronger, but really our dependency is really manifested when we're weak. When Paul says when we're the weakest, that's when we're the strongest. So it's a paradox. Proverbs 22:5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, but he who guards himself will be far from them. There are lots of scriptures on guarding, so we need to guard our homes, men. Our hearts, our marriages. And we do that by saying, there's the enemy, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this because I know that temptation is going to come. Behind that temptation, the enemy wants to destroy me. Really, going out on a battlefield with no helmet, no weapon, walking out and bullets are flying everywhere. Would anybody ever consider doing that? No. But guys, people are doing it all over North America with the way they use the internet, and it's so damaging. We have an enemy. Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We have an enemy. We need to remember that. Right now, he is totally obliterating the church in this area. He is so damaging and so ruining relationships. We cry. We weep when we hear these ladies calling and these guys calling on the phone. I want to share just a little tiny bit on that scripture, and then I'm going to move on. The word scheme in that scripture in the Greek means method. The enemy has a method. He doesn't sleep. He's available 24/7. He doesn't rest like we do. And so he has a method, and he knows all of your weaknesses, and he knows mine all too well. All the more reason for us to have that plan to guard the gates of our homes. Okay? Let's go over to Titus. We just finished my wife and I are inductive Bible study teachers. We just finished studying Titus. Listen to what Titus has to say. Titus goes over what men are supposed to do, what women are supposed to, young men, young women, older men, and older women. How they are supposed to live. If you haven't read Titus, go there. It's three chapters. It's rich. But Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. Oh, okay, let me back up. For the grace of God has appeared, bring salvation to all men. So what has the grace of God done? That tells us in the next scripture. What does it do? What has it done? Instructing us, the grace of God instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus, Christ Jesus. That word sensible, if you go over to Titus, read that, you'll see it repeated five times or more. What does sensible, when you think of the word sensible, somebody says, well, that's not very sensible, why don't you be sensible? What does that mean to you? It means different things. It's kind of one of those English words. It's hard to pin it down. In the Greek, you know what it means? In the Greek, which is the original language, it means self-disciplined in one's freedom, self-restrained in all passions and desires. I'll repeat it. Self-disciplined in one's freedom, self-restrained in all, excuse me, in one's all passions and desires. That's right. It's all. That is how we're supposed to be living as men. Okay? Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians real quick. I want to keep myself on track here. I will boast, here it is in 2 Corinthians 12, 9b. That's the second part of this scripture. I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is Paul. The key element here, gentlemen, is humility. Where I run into guys at conferences and churches all over North America that get into trouble are the ones that think they don't have a problem. Some of them don't have a problem, and that's great. But what I'm addressing to you here is that we all have a problem, and that problem is temptation if we're using the internet. We must admit that. Men don't like to admit problems. Men don't like to appear weak. Interestingly, Scripture says that God gives grace to the humble, but He opposes the proud. I don't know about you, but life is hard enough to have God opposing me. You know what I mean? And so humility means, you know what? I do get tempted on the internet. Transparency is good. Just be real. What we can't deal with in life, what your wife will not deal with well, is when you are not transparent and you're skating around things and you're not being clear and honest and humble. Women respond to men who lead by serving their families and lead by being humble. That doesn't mean you're still the leader of your home, but you lead by being a servant leader. That's the way it works. And that means you have to die to yourself. We want to acknowledge our weaknesses and our struggles in a transparent manner. God is our strength. He is the reason we can accomplish anything. And you can go over to John 15:4. I'll read John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Not some things, nothing. Here's a member story of a guy who's using our program, and I want you to understand, if there were other programs, I'd tell you, get on them. But there aren't any other programs that are doing accountability like what we're doing. We've been doing this for 10 years. We are very, very, very bullish on doing it right. Accountability won't work if you can bypass the software program you put on your computer at the drop of a hat. That's not accountability. And go wherever you want and then put it back on. Here's a member story. I want to give the highest recommendation and personal thanks to Covenant Eyes for creating a system that really works in protecting myself and my children from internet pornography. I've always thought of it rather strange how most companies that produce internet filters advise them advertise them as useful for protecting children. Yet we know that the vast majority of men today, including most Christian men, have some level of a problem or serious addiction to pornography. Without something as reliable and foolproof as Covenant Eyes, I could not guarantee that at any given moment I would be able to resist the temptation. I am desperate to have clean hands and a pure heart with which to serve the Lord and produce holy, abundant fruit for His kingdom. The filth of pornography steals my heart from His presence, so I must protect myself from having such an opportunity available in my home. My wife is the one who receives my accountability reports. The thought of her seeing a link with a terrible title highlighted in red on the accountability report is enough, to stop me from any evil pursuit. The program is on all three computers in the house and also on my laptop. So whenever I connect to the internet, anywhere in the world, the Lord is guarding my heart through Covenant Eyes, knowing there's no way around it without a report going to my wife means I don't even try to circumvent it. I just have a lot of peace, and my heart and mind are in a much purer condition. We have hundreds, maybe thousands of these stories. But what it requires is a humility, and as men, stepping up to the plate. It's like you had a baseball game going on and you're on the bench and they call you to go into bat for a guy. Now you've got to go up there and do something. Well, God has called us to be extraordinary men, biblical men. I'm going to give you a definition of a biblical man in just a minute. So who should use Covenant Eyes? Single men as a purity pledge and a hedge against temptation. Single women as a purity pledge and a hedge against temptation. College students away from home so parents can know that their son or daughter are using the internet responsibly, which is what we did with our kids. Married men and women to protect and guard their marriage and family from pornography's devastating effects. Church leaders and staff. Pastor Dale, leading by example. Ministry and business leaders and their staff. Missionaries. By God's grace, we have our program in 80 countries. Missionaries around the world, in China and Africa and anywhere you can think of, are using Covenant Eyes because guess what? They're just like you and me. They're tempted. And they don't want to go there. Period. And they draw the line in the sand and they step up to the plate and they be a man. A man does not live, by the way, by his emotions. A man learns to control his emotions. Emotions are not right or wrong. They're only a state of being at any given time in your life. The enemy, Satan, wants to use your emotions to get you to do all kinds of things that will ruin your life. Okay? We don't live by emotions. We live by truth, by knowledge, by biblical truth. What does internet accountability look like? Hey, you go over to Covenant Eyes, you sign up to our program, you're going to get a free 30-day trial. So you can sign up for, it's not very expensive anyway, but we like to offer free trials. And after you sign up and you pick your accountability partner out, you download it onto your computer, and you can put it onto any of your other machines you have for free once you become a member. So if you've got 10 computers, you can put it on all 10. No additional charge. Once I have it, and I have it on my laptop, once I'm on there, little blue CE icons down in the right-hand corner by the taskbar, by the clock, just look at that. It reminds me someone knows where I'm going, and someone will see where I'm going. And so then, wherever I go, whether it's ESPN, which has some bad ads at the top, you got to scroll down and they have these ads for singles. Everywhere you go, you have to set some guards up. Determine ahead of time you're not going to click on those things like we did with our kids. And use that, if you got kids here in the church, sit down with them and use that thing that we used with your kids. Prepare them for the inevitable. So they're not caught off guard and peer pressure causes them to get into drugs or alcohol because they didn't know what to do. So now, everywhere I go, my wife gets the report. The report is broken down. It's just not a big log of web addresses because that would be useless. And you wouldn't work because you'd look at it and go, well, what's that? What's that? You'd end up clicking on it and you'd end up seeing a bad page yourself. We'd end up doing the opposite. So my wife gets a report and we break it down into the time frame that it's covering. You know, is it a 3-day time frame or a week? And then we also monitor and score searches. We have a special system. It's a mathematical logarithm that actually our software analyzes every website, analyzes the entire URL past the question mark. It's called the variable string. We analyze all the source code on that page and the page itself using this mathematical logarithm that my partner developed. And then we assign a number to that page. We rate it. You get a 50, that's a bad page. You get a 3, there's just a little something on there, very little. So my wife gets this report, and she doesn't have to be, she is a non-techie. She's a non-techie mom, that's what we call it. Some people are not very technical, it's funny. Anyway, and so she gets the report, and she can see, she can figure this out, non-technical person, because we actually score the report and give it a rating at the top. And you can go down and you can see the sites that, if there were any objectionable sites, and there's actually about 6 or 7 different categories. And we're adding application tracking. So if you open up an application on your computer, it's especially the bad ones, the LimeWires and the peer-to-peers and some of the other ones. Those are going to be scored and shown in the report. So now, I can use the internet, and I tell you one thing it does. You begin realizing that the gray area websites you've been going to were not, you weren't supposed to be going there. It also starts fresh. So if any of you are having issues, it's not going to go back and look at anything in the past. It's a fresh start. That's the way God works. We all struggle with sin. The bottom line is, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit back and go, woe is me? Or are we going to do something? And as men, God is calling us. In fact, actually, God is holding us responsible to do stuff, which we will give an account to one day for our families and for ourselves. Now, what about filters? Because some of you may be using some filters. Are anybody using filters at home here? Okay. Good. Is anybody using a program called X3 Watch? Okay. Good. Let me address the filters first. Most filters work using a database of known bad websites. You type in a website, that's why there's a delay and why they slow your machine down a little bit. It actually will go over there and just look in the database and says, oh, it's in there, blocked. Our filters are primarily for 6 to 12 or maybe 6 to 14-year-old people. Excuse me, children, 6 to 14 years of age. To teach responsible use of the internet, and it will block stuff because they're learning, and we don't want that stuff to appear. Filters are also great for guys that are actually struggling with porn, okay? But they need to use our filter and our accountability because our filter and our accountability are better than anything on the market. And if it wasn't, then I'd tell you so. Like I say, we have a big enough market, guys. We're not trying to capture 300 or 100 million people, okay? We're trying to help the body of Christ. That's what we've been called to do. Our filter actually goes out and analyzes, if it's not in our database, our filter actually goes out and analyzes every website using context-based analysis. So even if that bad website isn't in that blacklist, we go out and analyze it. It could be a brand new porn site. We analyze it, gets a score. You got 9 different settings on your filter setting. And even in the most lenient setting, it's going to block it. Nobody has real-time dynamic blocking analysis, context-based analysis. Some of them use some keywords. They will go out and use some keywords to do some blocking, but not the whole context. Triple X Church, I'll just say one thing about them. If you're using their program, I want to commend you for using something and recognizing that you do, that you need to be accountable, but their program is worthless. I wouldn't say it if it was a good program. I'd tell you it was a good program and keep using it. There's 10 different ways you can bypass it. He's not a software company. I know who the owner is. His main issue is going out and raising the level of awareness in the church, his ministry, to deal with this issue. And he happens to have a free program that he updates once every 2 or 3 years. And so if your accountability partner gets the report, there isn't any rating of that. And so how does your accountability partner really know what's a good and bad site? A lot of the porn sites will actually make a URL very, very ambiguous, very difficult to tell. They'll make them sound, well, like whitehouse.com years ago. You know, you can't read that and know that. And so it actually puts the accountability partner at risk because they don't know. There's no rating method. And there's lots of other things. I commend you for using it, if any of you are using it, but you need to seriously consider changing. $7.99 a month to guard your integrity is worth it versus free. There are certain times when free software is great. This is not one of them. We have more information on how our filter works and the specifics of it, but I didn't want to get into too many technical things because that's not what this is about. Our software is portable. I mentioned you can put it on laptops and take it anywhere. It works at wireless hotspots and hotels and airports. We also have a version coming out for the iPhone. We have our own browser for the iPhone. So if you're going on the internet and looking at stuff on the Apple iPhone, in about 2 months we'll be launching that. And then we already have Windows Mobile Standard and Pro that'll be coming. I said we already have. We haven't done, but we haven't launched yet next month. And so this protects guys and helps guys that are using the portable phones to access the internet, the smartphones. Now they are going to be held accountable, and that'll appear on their report wherever they go. It's hard to keep up with all this stuff. You guys are awesome. I want you to know that what I'm going to say next is not, some of you could probably maybe get mad at me a little bit. Don't get mad at me. Well, you can get mad at me if you want to. It's okay. But we have too many men in Christendom today that are weak, and they're cowards. And, you know, I was probably one of those early on when I was married too, because I didn't know what it was to be a man of God. Number one, a man of God does not lead his life by his emotions. That's the first thing. But I want to give you a scripture, and I want you to think about this. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, I guess this is 1 Corinthians 16:13. Well, I believe that's where it is. If there's an error there, I'll find it. But it says, be on the alert. The Greek word for alert means it denotes attention to God's revelation or to the knowledge of salvation, a mindfulness of threatening dangers. A mindfulness of threatening dangers. Okay? That's the first thing we're to do as men, all the time. Second thing, stand firm. What does that mean? That means it's the opposite of falling. We're not going to fall. Men do not fall. Now, when we do fall, it's kind of a funny statement. When we do fall, because we still wrestle with sin, that's where the humility comes in. The best thing I can tell you about loving your wife today is remember to love her according to Scripture, which says we laid, if you're married, you men are supposed to lay down their lives for their wives, just as Christ laid down his life for the church. Well, that means we have to die to ourselves, guys, and serve our wives. You'd be surprised if you serve your wife, but some guys will say, well, my needs aren't going to get met if I just spend all this time serving my wife. Well, if you serve your wife, your whole relationship is going to absolutely mind-blowingly change. Your wife is going to then start serving all your needs. She'll start running around the house
anticipating your needs.
And that's a process, guys. We don't arrive overnight, but you need, please take this to heart. So the first is be on the alert. The second is stand firm. Also, that word stand firm means to stand fast against an enemy as opposed to running away. Too many men in Christendom are running away to their own selfish desires. They're cowards. They're cowards, okay? Think of the Titanic today. If the Titanic was going down today and the boat was going down, back in the 30s, whenever that happened, or 20s or 10, whenever it was, all the men said, "Women and children get on the boat, the men will die." If you ask this to the same survey today, the culture would say, "Oh no, there needs to be an equal number of men and women." No. You want to be the one to die. There, I'm going to die for my wife. You go. That's what the scripture says. Christ died for us. Listen to this, guys. This is really cool. So we've got be on the alert. Write this down. Be on the alert. These are things we're supposed to be doing every day. Stand firm. Opposite of running away. In faith, act like men. What's that mean? To behave oneself with wisdom and courage as a man. As opposed to a babe or a child in Christ. To behave courageously. You know what that means? Facing your sin areas. Facing your weaknesses and saying, you know what? Boy, I've got problems over here and here. And just being able to humble yourself and face those things. That is a man, a godly man who can do that. That takes courage. And your wives will love that. To behave courageously, to be strong. So the end of that scripture. And then the very end of actually verse 14 says, "Let all that you do be done in love." The word love means, the Greek for that word is agapeo. I didn't pronounce that right because I'm not very good with Greek. But what that means is that it is a love of the will. It's not a phileo, which is another form of love. This is a love indicating a direction of the will. Okay, we are to will ourselves in loving our wives, not because they do everything right, because they got their act all together, because they're whatever, you fill in the blank. Men, godly men, be a man in that scripture means that we set our will to love them. What did Christ do for us? He set his will, didn't he? He set his will. The Father gave him a command, and he set his will to die on a cross for us. He didn't sit there and go, "Oh, I don't feel like doing that. Maybe tomorrow. I feel tired today." This is what real men do. They set their will to love their family members, to love their God. In closing, guys, I want you to know we exist for all of you. We love all of you. Every 49, I guess we have 49 staff, maybe 50 now. We have regular prayer times. My challenge to you is do this if you're. Do this for your families. Do this for your children. Do this for you, for sure. But remember, you are the leader of your home. And God will hold you accountable to be the man, the biblical man. He doesn't call us to be there right, like all the way there. But we need to take that step. And it starts with humility, asking God, I need help. I'm got this problem here, Lord, and got this problem here. And if any of you, by the way, don't have an accountability partner or somebody that you can go to and download, and this has to be a very special person. It could be the pastor, it could be associate pastor, it could be your good friend, it could be your father if your son is here, father, son. Somebody who you can really trust. If any of you have some darkness where you're using the internet in a secret way, that needs to come to light, and I can't tell you how important that is. And it will be painful and it will be hard, but that's what men do. Men do hard things. Biblical men do the tough things. God expects us to do those things. And it all begins with being transparent and humble, and that's where the healing can begin, when it's sincere and in the humility to be totally transparent in these areas of darkness in our life. So I want to challenge you. We love you. We exist to support you and your family. And I could read you hundreds and hundreds of more testimonials from wives that said our program saved their marriage and our program did this. And it's not about us. It's about giving glory to God. He called us to this particular ministry. Okay? Don't look at us. Draw close to Him. Go to the Word. But my challenge for you today is in my opinion, after almost 10 years of doing this, there is no excuse for not using the internet with Covenant Eyes. Even if you don't have a problem, as I said, whether you have a problem with viewing objectionable or you just have temptation, everybody should be using it. Find an accountability partner, somebody you can be transparent and honest with. Okay, somebody who's hopefully biblically founded and can be loving. We're not into beating people up. That's the last thing you want to do when you have a relationship. I have about 1 or 2 minutes for questions. Does anybody have any questions about filtering, or you can stop me out there, I'll be here until for another couple of hours, or accountability? Does anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
How common is it that Covenant Eyes scores high when there really isn't any bad activity? So when I hold somebody accountable and then, boom, 85 shows up, mm-hmm. They're like, you know, it's me.
Yeah, the gentleman's question is does Covenant Eyes score high? How common do we score possible objectionable websites high? And the answer to that is that it's reasonably, it's not super common, but it does happen. And the reason that it happens is that we would rather err on the side of having it. Well, actually, we're always modifying the system. Keeping up with the internet is another story. But we're fine-tuning it. Actually, we're coming out with our report. We're coming out with categories. So you'll actually be able to see the report is going to help our accountability partners huge. We're coming out with a whole new report design in about a month. And we're going to be showing categories. So let's say you went to a particular website and it was in a category, let's say it was sports. You know, it's going to be clear to understand where that person went. But even if it does score high, artificially high, let's say you and I are accountability partners, and you see a score high, and you call me up on the phone, hey, Lynn, I see the score of 85. What's going on? Number one, that lets me know you're watching my report. Number two, we're actually having conversation in our relationship, which is what we want people to do. So even if it was artificially high, it reaffirms that I know he's watching the report. He's paying attention. Number two, we have a chance for dialogue. And I can say, oh, no, that was... You know, I went over there to do some research, and I thought that might score high, and I was going to tell you about it. But
I don't know how the internet works. I'm not a tech either. But so when you're on a main page, and there's these advertiser things on the, I think they're called embedded sites, something like that. Does Covenant Eyes pick up those embedded sites, even if you don't go to those? And what about something like Hulu? I guess you can get the TV on the internet now. Does Covenant Eyes know what people are looking at on Hulu, or is it just the general fact that you're on that website that scores?
That would be a question for our scoring team, because, like you say, the internet just keeps changing. They keep coming up with new ways to deliver TV on the internet and all this stuff. And so I know we're addressing these because our members from 80 countries give us feedback. And
so I can call them.
You can call us. Yeah, you can call. We have toll-free customer support. Our service is $7.99 a month for a single individual user. We have greatly reduced family pricing. So by the time you get two or three or four users, the price can go all the way down to $2.50. Your first 30 days are free. Grab one of those flyers. I was going to pass one of those out to everybody. I'm challenging you all. Don't think about this. Just do it. Trust me. Just do it. Go ahead.
For the smartphones, iPhones, things like that, yeah. It wasn't even out. But is that, having anything on those would be great, but is that, you're going to have your own program. They get around it by using a different program, or will it work like it does on a PC?
It'll work like it does on a PC. And we already have, it's our own browser. Apple would not open their code up to our developers for the iPhone. So we had to develop our own browser for now. So you would download our little Covenant Eyes browser on your iPhone, and then it's going to monitor everything everywhere you go. And I don't know about the circumventability, but I know that's a high thing that we really focus on, because we want to make it as bulletproof as possible.
Now, will Covenant Eyes actually block the site as well as sending accountability?
Well, we have a filter that works. If you want, the filter is an optional $1.50 a month more. So if you've got families, I highly recommend use our filter. And then what you can do, because it's based on a username, you can have your kids be using filtering, and then your username, it's username specific. So your username would be, when you log in, would just be accountability. It wouldn't block you from going anywhere unless you want to be blocked. It has, the filter guardian has 9 different settings. The reason why filters don't work very well for adults is that most of the time the parents have the password. So if I'm struggling with pornography, all I have to do is get on the internet when no one's around, I got the password, and go wherever I want. So filters are truly for kids to learn how to use the internet responsibly. Accountability, on the other hand, works. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Is your program also block embedded advertisements? Because like Firefox can do that.
Yeah. We haven't got that far yet. Our programmers are working on so that if you go to a page, it's so tough to keep up with this stuff. It's amazing. It's like we get something fixed and 3 more things pop up that our customers are asking for. Like if you go to ESPN, I go to ESPN, I don't go to Sports Illustrated because the swimsuit edition is just not where I need to be. And so I draw the line and say, no, I'm not going there. I get my sports elsewhere. And so, but when you go to ESPN, at the top and on the side, they have these dating things where they have these gals that are barely dressed. I just quickly scroll down and I avoid seeing them. But what you're saying is it'd be nice to block those.
Well, yeah, if you use a browser like Firefox, you can actually right-click and say, block this advertisement, and it'll never show up.
And see, our tech people might even know that. Our customer support people, they are on the phones all the time telling people how to do stuff like that. So
we just need to, guys, we need to go to break. We'll have time for questions after Kevin's next thing as well. So if you have more questions, write it down.
Thank you, Pastor Dale.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I think this question is important enough to ask, especially without the women here.
Okay, good.
All right, so if you don't mind, just 30 seconds.
Oh, sure.
I'm foreseeing a possible challenge when you were mentioning your accountability partner with your wife.
Yes.
And considering the fact that maybe it would be wise for someone to counsel with whoever they're counseling with, maybe there's a breach of trust in their relationship or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If then there is a possibility that that you've got a man with an earnest heart, he's making a change, he's doing everything he possibly can, and all of a sudden this program picks up or links to a site that shows bad,
right.
He's already broken her trust.
Right.
All of a sudden now she's conflicted by looking at this, and he says, honey, I promise I wasn't there doing something, and now he's trapped and has absolutely done nothing wrong.
Great question.
Yeah.
I can answer that right on. I'm so glad you brought that up. Did you have anything more? No, you hit it right on the head, man. Your wife can be your accountability partner if you're not struggling with this issue. My wife is, I'm not struggling with this issue, so she gets my reports. However, as this gentleman said over here, his question was, well, what happens if, you know, okay, I'm struggling with this, and I want to come out in the light with this. You need to have someone else you can go to and communicate that to, like a pastor or associate pastor, a trusted friend, somebody who you really trust and cares about you, not just, hey, grab a guy, not that kind, okay? And share that with him, and you might even need to bring in, okay, you may even need to bring in the pastor and your wife. And then you bring this out in the light while the pastor and maybe the accountability partner are there. That's just one way to do it. Okay? And then leave your wife. Now, some women will say, I still want to see the report, but I'm probably not going to pay much attention because I know that John or Pastor so-and-so will get it. Other women will say, no, I want to stay out of this because it is a very, very sensitive issue. When you guys are when we view pornography, it devastates it can devastate the relationship, the trust factor. It's just like having an affair, okay? And so her response is not to, she needs to respond biblically, but we also want to protect her as men. So I would leave her out of that. This is what I've advised men for years. Don't include your wife if you're wrestling with this. Bring it out in the open to a pastor or a trusted individual, and then come together as a group and say, honey, I've been wrestling with something, and I am broken, and I repent from this. There isn't a woman alive who will not respond to a broken man who wants to heal their marriage. She will respect you volumes. That's what it takes to be a real man, to be willing to be broken to pieces before your wife and say, I want to rebuild this. That takes courage. That's the kind of men we need to be. Not that we always want to be in sin and brokenness. Okay, we want to get past those things. But if you're there, that's his question. Is very good, and that's the way I would advise to handle that. So, not because the weaker vessel, wives, we have to watch out because they are weaker. Scripture says that they are. They're the same, but they're weaker, and so we've got to protect them. And so that's what I would recommend is that type of bringing that into the light.
Thank you so much. Guys, let's take 10 minutes for a break, stretch your legs, grab some goodies, and then we'll come back.
Thank you, guys.